Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome to the Smash Factor for this week's PGA Tour event, the Charles Schwab Challenge, as they head back to Texas over in Fort Worth. I think it's the longest running tournament on the PGA Tour, but long week last week, tough week, by far my worst major probably ever. And ironically, I had double the field of Scheffler. Just obviously it was a super low 6 of 6, but anytime so many guys are right there and they just missed, that it was, I think I had 11 guys miss on the number or one shot back of the number. The JT, he started horrible. Then he kind of climbed all the way back, and then three bogeys in a row on the back nine and couldn't find one more birdie. Brutal. No guard. Three putt at 18, including a four-footer. There were just some bad misses. I was even on the field on Bryson. Actually, a little bit over the field on Bryson. Under the field on Rory. And way over on Scheffler. So that part was obviously good, but the rest of it, I just didn't, the field, I just didn't have a good pool. A ton of like 4 or 6s, obviously some 5 of 6s. And then even my few 6 of 6s, I had one where I looked at it Sunday, cause I was trying to figure out, I had 6 of 6, including Scheffler. And three of the guys, I don't remember the names off the top of my head, shot a combined like 28 over Saturday and Sunday. It was just the guys that made it for me on the weekend, basically outside of Scheffler, Bryson did okay and all that, didn't do much or went way backwards. So it was just a brutal, just one you want to throw away, and is what it is. Happens sometimes, especially in golf. It was the first time, though, I was talking to some buddies. I was like, definitely the first time that I had the winner of the tournament way overweight on him, and got blown away in DraftKings. Didn't do hardly anything. Because normally you put some stuff together and it just kind of works out that way, but it was not that way last week. It just was a brutal, my 4-4-4-4 lineup. I decided I was going to do Scotty, JT, or Rory and Bryson. I talked about it on the pod last week too, that when I figured out that Scotty and JT was actually $200 cheaper and maybe even more interested, I thought their ownership would be fairly close, the 2v2. I knew Rory and Bryson would be more, but like in that 4-4-4-4, I believe Rory and Bryson was 79% combined, and Scotty and JT was like 50% or 49. It was way less for Scotty and JT. So when I saw that Thursday morning, I was extremely happy that I made that decision. And then thought we was going to have a good run at it and at least have the leverage and all that. And sometimes you can do all that and it still don't work out, but it was brutal. I'm hoping to bounce back this week, get going, head towards the U.S. Open, but we're back in Texas. So very familiar with this course, been there a few times. If you want to join us now, you can still use PGA Champ this week for 30% off. Includes a 7-day risk-free trial. I think you can get in as low as $7 a month for the content and Slack, or $15 a month for all the tools on the site, plus the content, plus the Slack with that PGA Champ. Colonial Country Club, completely redone 2 years ago. So this will be the second year playing that these guys have played it with since the redo. Par 70, 7,300. Four par threes, two par fives. Always important to be, in the right spot off the tee. Bent green grass on the greens, 132 man field, so a little bit less than some of these full fields we've seen in place. Relatively tough year in and year out. even Riley last year, you know, he won with 14 under, but he beat the field by five strokes. Keegan and Scotty tied for second at minus nine. And then before that, minus eight, minus nine, minus 14, minus 15, minus 13. I think it'll still play tough. It's going to play extremely tough when we start talking about, we'll talk about now the weather. Hot, humid. We've had tons of storms and showers in this area. I'm just north of there about two and a half hours. But I'm down in Dallas quite a bit for work. But plenty of wind, a lot of wind over the next 4 days. This is super early Wednesday morning. If you're not used to it by now, that's when I've been doing this recording. I'll put this out around lunchtime. But probably we'll have to look a little bit at it later on tonight before we lock. Right now, slight advantage to an AM PM wave, because, and I always will weigh Thursday's weather more than Friday because we just don't know what it'll do. But right now it looks fairly significant that the winds are going to pick up mid afternoon and could be as strong as 25, 30 miles an hour. Whereas Thursday morning, it's like 6 miles an hour with a peak of like 10, starts to pick up around 1-2 o'clock. Friday, it does pick up in the PM again, but not near as, you know, of a difference. But we really just need to see, you know, it's one of those, keep it in the back of your mind. We'll see how it looks, you know, as late as possible. As of now, I would say slight advantage, a good, you know, a decent advantage to the AM PM because of those winds, but not the end all be all. We'll see how it looks, you know, another 12 to 14 hours from now. For sure, if it stays like this, definitely your round one and first round leaders, I would be going as early as possible all in. It's going to be hot, like I said, so you're not worried about cold mornings. It's going to be low 70s, quickly warming up almost to 90 every single day. So really just keep that in mind. I didn't really factor waves when doing, you know, my player picks and all that. I kind of will wait till later on when we're doing final rankings and the core report and all that before locking that in. So this is just the guys I like as is, not factoring the weather as of now. Cut probably around +2, could see +3, especially with these winds being strong. Winner, I think it stays single digit. You may get a guy like Riley, not him specifically, but someone kind of run away. Obviously we've seen Scotty now win back to back. He's only finished second, third, and second here the last 3 years. So going to be hard to beat him. But I think the majority of the field is going to be single digit. I mean, top 20 will be single digit come Sunday. And, you know, 2, 3, 4 under, you're going to be in the mix. And the winner could be back in that 8, 9 under range, in my opinion. Stats I'm looking at, good drives, good approach, stroke gain irons, par 4 DK scoring, opportunities inside 18 feet, and bogey avoidance. 32 guys have not played this in the last 6 years, so pretty good majority, 100, have at least played it once, and a lot of them have played it last year. Let's just see. How many played it last year? Because that would be since the redo. Find all. So 53, about 70, 75 played it last year. So a good over the majority have also seen the course since the redo. I think the greens will still be somewhat firm, especially, you know, it's year two. It won't be as firm as last year, but and then we get the winds and everything. It's going to be dry. You know, I think it's going to play tough. I think it'll be a tough challenge for these guys. And salary ranges this week, 10K range, we got two. We have Scotty, who is 13.7, and Fleetwood, who is 10,000. So $3,700 gap from first to second, I think, is the largest ever. More on that in a minute. 9K range, because we do not have a 5K range this week, so it makes it a little more interesting. 9 guys in the 9K range, 11 in the 8K range, 38 in the 7K range, and 75 in the 6K range. Sweet 16, you know, I give you the three I like and a bubble boy for each range. Fade of the week, sleeper of the week, some gut fill plays. Betting top 5 of the pop and 2 long shots provided by Underdog. Use the code GUP, dollar for dollar match with that. And my preliminary one and done, and then we will get out of here. 9K and above. I mean, it's really going to go down to the Scotty conversation. I do think there's plenty of ways to build this week with him, even without a 5K range. And the floor is just so high. You know, I don't know how you don't play him. You could easily fade him. I mean, I think he's going to be 40, 50%. Maybe even higher in some of your single entry, higher dollar stuff. But in the big lottery, I mean, the $25 or whatever it is this week, or your big $5, I could see him easily being 40% or more. It'll squeeze some of these other guys in the 9K, 10K out a little bit because it's tough to build him plus one of those. It's not impossible, though, because, again, he's now priced up there, but there's no 5K range. Like last week, we had the 5K range, so it made it fairly easy to get those combos. But the field's not super strong where, in my opinion, there's a huge difference in your 7Ks to your 8Ks or 8Ks to your 9Ks that I think plenty of people be able to fit Scotty plus whoever they want and just take their chances. Because he could run away with it, and you absolutely have to have him regardless of the price. Now, you could flip it and easily say, man, I'll just take it maybe just one time. You know, he finishes 24th out of nowhere, and he struggles, and the wind and whatever. I mean, what is his tee time? Let's see what his tee time is. So he's PMAM, so technically, as of now, I would say he has the worst of the draws, but a guy that talent, I don't really factor the weather like I would some of the other guys, but there's ways around it. I think you almost go all in on him, or you just fade him. I don't know that it does a whole lot to just be level with the field this week. For me, I'm going to be in right now, unless by the time we get to tonight, and there's a huge difference in that weather wave even more, then you just take a chance and go, all right, I'll fade the chalk Scotty and hope the weather wave goes in my favor. But that's 12 to 14 hours away from now. We'll see with the final thoughts and everything on the site when I post all that. But for now, I like Scotty. Like I said, his last 3 years here, a second, third, and a second. If you want some hope, before that, he finished 55th in a miscut. But since then, which we would probably call prime Scotty years, hasn't finished worse than third. He's obviously won his last two tournaments, plus an eighth at RBC. The only reason to be off him would just be the combination of salary, ownership, and taking a chance. Maybe the weather goes your way as well. Next up, Mitchell. Super chalk last week. He was another guy. I had some, but I was way under him. I didn't play him in the 4-4-4-4. I felt like I made so many right moves. Those weeks get frustrating for sure. But blew up chalk, I think, is a great bounce back spot. Probably low owned, not only because it's tough to start Scotty and him, but if anybody was going to do it, you could be in the lowest price in the 9K range. So what's that leave you? 27.3. I mean, so you're gonna have to get at least two 6Ks in there, but you know, a great bounce back spot in my opinion. He finished 37th here last year. Stat wise, he ranks out well. Really, the reason for him is just a pure bounce back. No one's gonna be on him. Everybody's pissed. You know, they blew up their lineups last week when he missed the cut. Good leverage spot this week, in my opinion. Mav, been on him. Really no reason to jump off. 33rd last week at the major. He's made the cut here 4 out of 5 years with the 20th, a 17th, a 32nd, and a 52nd. Last year was his best year on the new course. So playing great, putts well. Could easily see him winning this week. Like him a lot at 9,500. And then bubble boy for me is Berger. I think he'll be the guy that people go to if they want to avoid Scotty. So you start with Berger. I don't think it'll be Fleetwood, in my opinion. He's got a 35th and a miscut here, and I don't know that – I think people would go Berger over him. Just Berger's won here. He's made the cut every year. He's played in the last 5 years here. 33rd last week, 11th at Truist, 3rd at RBC, playing great. He's really coming back into form. Makes a lot of sense, especially if you do want to, you know, pass on Scotty. Let's see if he's got the – nope, he's got – actually, he's playing with Scotty. In the same group, so you're not going to get a weather advantage there if that was your reason to fade Scotty. But bubble boy for me, just because I think he will be probably the second highest owned on the whole slate, maybe at least top three, you know, after Scotty. So 9K and above, Scheffler 13.7, Mitchell 9,000, Mav 9,500, bubble boy is Berger 9,900. 8K, I'll start with Davis Thompson. He was one of the guys that missed the cut right there last week, kind of burned me a little bit. He was in my 4-4-4-4, so that hurt. But before that's been playing great. A 23rd, a 17th, or 27th at RBC, a 17th here last year, you know, 17th in recent form, 6th in course fit. I'll go back to him. A good bounce back spot, good leverage play. I think he's 5 to 8% owned this week at that 8,800. I think he's a good play, solid play, especially if you start wanting to build balance. You fade Scotty, you go like a Berger, a Thompson, a Mitchell, some of these lower owned leverage plays that could give you a high upside, and just hope that, you know, somehow the Scotty fade works. But I don't mind that at all. Harry Hall, 8,000. This course screams Harry Hall to me. A third here 2 years ago. He did miss the cut last year. 19th last week, 33rd at CJ Cup. We know he can get super hot with the putter. Great price. I do think he could be a very popular pairing with Scotty, so keep that in mind. But outside of that, I like Hall a lot at 8,000. Riley, I'll go back to him. Great finish last week, second place. He's won here last year, and then he's a fourth 3 years ago. So he's played this course well. He did miss the cut in between those two, but really good form. I know coming off the high of the PGA Championship, maybe, you know, an 81 here last year, you know, does that get distraction? But no one's going to really go to him, he's going to be in that 10% type range ownership. I don't mind going back to him at all this week. Bubble boy for me is Batia. I could see him getting some steam in the market. I think, you know, like a Hall would be a good pivot. I would think Batia gets a decent amount more ownership. Maybe not, just the way that things work out. But he hasn't had the best record here. So a little bit, I don't think he's going to be high owned by any means. I think he'll still be, you know, somewhere in that 9 to 12% range. But Hall may be in that 5 to 7. So it's not huge, but miscutting a 56 there. So that would be my only concern, is that not the best results here. You know, but we know he putted well last week. Even though he missed the cut, he was, you know, up there in putting. That wasn't really it. You know, if he can get the irons going, I mean, he's live here for sure. Bubble boy for me, just because of the not really done much here, and could be one of the higher owned in that 8K range. So, but I don't mind him overall, more probably like a 20 max play than a core, but 8K range for me, Thompson, 8,800, Hall, 8,000, Riley, 8,600, and then Bubble Boy is Batia at 8,000 flat. 7K range, Pearson Cootie, 7,200, a fifth here last year, a 25th at the CJ Cup a couple weeks ago, 18th in good drive, 7th in good approach, 27th in putting, 12th in par 4 DK scoring. Just solid numbers across the board. Around the green sometimes could be an issue, but I like the fifth place here last year. Price feels good. I don't think it'll be too high owned, so I don't mind him at all at $7,200. Lee Hodges, $7,300. I don't feel like we've said his name in a while, but great history here. A 35th, a 29th, and a 12th. So he's improved every single year, three straight made cuts. He missed a cut last week and at the CJ, so, you know, a little concern there. But with the history here, $7,300, I don't mind it at all. Rates out well as far as stats across the board. So I don't mind Lee Hodges this week, 7,300. Gerard, 7,900. I do think he could get popular. I liked him last week. I played a decent amount. He finished top 10 with an eighth place, 42nd at Truist, 27th at RBC. Hasn't played here. That may be the only knock, but coming in great form. I do think he could be popular. So if you wanted to, you know, especially in a Scotty lineup, keep that in mind. You know, if you're going to play Scotty, I would try to, you know, not go to all the other chalk in the ranges where people are going to naturally fall. So keep that in mind. But outside of that, I don't mind him at all. Especially if you decide to fade Scotty, then I think it's even a better play, because you're not going to – he's going to be paired with Scotty a decent amount, I think. Bubble boy for me is Colley. Got popular last week. Didn't see that coming. I definitely like him a lot in general. I think this course fits him really well. He hasn't played here since 2020. Obviously, he had the, you know, the comeback story, but he a 29th here back when he did play. 32nd at RBC. He did make the cut last week, but didn't do much on the weekend. Overall rates out solid though. He's top, finished in the top 20 for me, $7,800. 19th in irons, 19th in par 4 DK scoring. Top third in putting. I think him and Gerard are two. They're going to be up there in ownership. So Bubble Boy is only because of that. You could flip either one of those. They're pretty close. Maybe keep an eye on fund ownership tonight. That'd be the only reason to kind of maybe be off one of them, fade one, play one, play them both if you're going to fade Scotty, because that would be different. I don't think that's going to be necessarily popular per se. 7K range, Cootie, 7,200, Hodges, 7,300, Gerard, 7,900, Colley, 7,800. 6K range. Shipley, who I wouldn't think would this course would suit him, but he rates out solid for me. He hasn't played, obviously, here, but I don't think he'll get much ownership. I just like his talent in general. Ninth in good drive, sixth in good approach, second in bogey avoidance. $6,900. I think he'd be sub 5% ownership. So I don't mind him this week. Springer, a guy we played, you know, several times, $6,400. I think that's a, obviously it's a great price. He's a guy that you could put in with a Scotty and really free up some salary. Missed a cut last year here, and missed a cut at CJ Cup. But before that, have been playing pretty solid. 24th in good drives, 21st in good approach, top third in putting, 44th in opportunities. I mean, 49th in bogey avoidance. Those don't sound like tremendous, but for $6,400, the upside and just the talent level, I don't mind having him in the pool this week at all at that price. Castillo is a guy we played a decent amount. Fifth at the CJ Cup, seventh at opportunities inside 18 feet, 13th in bogey avoidance, 22nd in approach, 23rd in irons. Solid across the board, $6,900. Don't mind him at all this week. Bubble boy for me is Danny Walker. Could see him getting a little steam at $6,400 just because he's, you know, been a little bit popular recently, but a 25th at CJ Cup. I like his talent. Again, just like Springer, he'll be much higher, not much higher owned, but for relatively speaking, but don't mind going there at all for that price. Tons of upside with him. So 6K range, I like Shipley, $6,900. Springer, $6,400. Castillo, $6,900. Walker, $6,400. And you're definitely going to have to dip your toes in that 6K range if you do decide to go all in on Scotty or play him at all. Tough to build without at least getting one 6K range in there. Fade of the week for me, mentioned earlier, is Fleetwood. For the price, I'm gonna go down or I'm gonna play Scotty. So he's just priced at a spot that I don't want that. I'm either gonna pay up or then that I'm gonna go balanced in the 8-9K range. Sleeper of the week, Kitayama kind of popping for me. He's gonna be 3% owned. You would think this isn't a course that stands out, but you know, fifth at CJ Cup, he's made the cut the two times he played this in 2022 and 2023, with the 40th and a 29th, 11th in good drives. We know he can drive the ball well. 12th in good approach. Putting, he doesn't rank out well at all, but because here he's done all right, I don't mind that. At 7,600, low owned, high upside guy. Tougher, I like him on tougher tracks, and so you know, I don't mind it for a sleeper. Some gut feel plays. I like Smalley. I'll go back to him. Obviously, once he got to the top of the leaderboard, he quickly blew up. And I mean, he still finished 28th, but he's shown the talent. And I do think this course could suit him well. He withdrew last year. I can't remember why, but before that, made the cut the last 2 years, 27th and a 40th. Coming in good form, 39th at CJ Cup, 28th at the PGA Championship. Can putt, you know, can get really hot putting. 77 feels like a good price for him, so I don't mind him. Siwoo coming back into form, a good week last week. Don't mind going there. EVR hasn't played well here. That he's missed the cut all three times. That's probably the only negative. Outside of that, he looks great and he's playing solid. So for 6,700, I don't mind going back to EVR. Aaron Rye, he probably be right there with Berger as one of the higher owned in the 9K range, coming in good form. He's played this course pretty good, three straight made cuts, 68, 12th, and a 32nd. Don't mind him. Olsen, 7,700, 33rd last week, 29th at CJ Cup. He hasn't played here. That'd be only knock, but I don't mind him. Knapp, Eric Cole, Thor Bjornsson, definitely young, talented. Definitely he's a bomber off the tee, so you wouldn't think would fit him. But with the talent level and at 7K, I don't mind taking some chances. 33rd at CJ Cup, 54th at Truist, 41st last week. For 7K flat, I wouldn't mind having some shares of him. And then Salindo. We hadn't talked about him in a while. It's kind of fell off a little bit. 56th at the CJ Cup, but, you know, 6,900, probably 2 to 3% owned. I don't mind taking some shares of him either, you know, some flyer picks in there. Betting top five of the pop and two long shots provided by Underdog. Link is in the description. Dollar for dollar match with the code GUP. I like Berger. This could be a week. I would probably do one or two things. If you have the each way market or are familiar with it, I would look to those just in case Scotty runs away and you get some guys that do finish in the top five or top eight, depending on how your each ways work. Or books have started, you know, well, they've been doing it for a while, but it's definitely gotten more prevalent with Scotty in the picture. Well, they'll have the market without Scotty, and you'll just have worse odds, but you take Scotty out of the picture and look at the numbers and see and check around. Sometimes you can find an odds about the same, you know, not that much worse, and you don't have to mess with Scotty. So I would look around at that even more so this week. But just raw numbers, I like Berger 22-1, English 30-1, Thompson 55-1, Mav 33-1, Bud Colley 65-1. Some long shots I like is Cootie 125-1, Hodges 150-1, and Shipley 175-1. I definitely would do each ways on those, or maybe just do a top 10, top 20 bet. I haven't done the betting card yet. I'm definitely going to wait on the weather a little bit. And then most likely we either go with the longer shots with some each way stuff or look at what's the best odds on some of these guys that I can get in the without Scotty market. Cause I do think Scotty wins this week. And he's priced where I think he should be. Maybe thought he'd be close to a pick 'em, plus 150. He's plus 250 in most places, 230, which is still crazy. But, that's how I would look at those. One and done. I like kind of some of the same guys. I like Berger. I like English a lot. I think he could be a solid play. Thompson, Mav. I don't mind going to Riley. You know, he can go back to back, you know, 2 years in a row here. Rye was another one that's on the short list. I don't see me playing him much anywhere. Batia, those kind of guys I think you go to. I would assume you probably either use Scotty or you're planning on using him at a big boy event. I would not waste him here. That's probably where I'm going to be. It's probably going to be Berger, English, Mav are probably the three I'll be looking between. And if you're way behind and you want to take a flyer, you know, you go down in that, you know, Collie range or, you know, maybe even Cootie, something like that. You know, go out of the box this week isn't a bad week to do it. It's not a big pot. But don't use Scotty. I wouldn't use him unless you have some type of system that rewards you. I know of one that if you pick the winner that week, you get to use them you get to use them one more time. So if you're not going to, but I'd still, even that scenario, I'd try to use them for two elevated events. I just wouldn't waste them at one of these lower priced ones, but those are the ones I like. Going to get out of here. Got a busy day ahead. Definitely will have everything updated later. It's that timeline of how late can I get it out to get the most accurate weather update, but get you guys the content in plenty of time. But we will have that out. Hope you guys have a great week. Looking forward to the bounce back. Got a lot right last week. Just couldn't put it all together. Sometimes that happens. But I do feel good about this week. I think it's really just going to come down to what are we going to do with the weather? How does it really impact? And then how do you play Scotty with that? And then from there, I feel pretty good about where everything else is at, just how we're going to treat Scotty. And then move on from that. So, hope you guys have a great Wednesday. Have a great week. Good luck. And we'll talk to you soon.